Thanos didn't hate people. That was never the point. He believed the universe was broken by excess, and that only through subtraction could balance be restored. Efficient, logical, deadly. That philosophy, the one we all wrote off as comic book villainy, isn't as distant from real life as we'd like to think, especially not now, because artificial intelligence doesn't arrive in the world with empathy. It arrives with rules, with thresholds, with code that's optimized to solve a problem, not feel the consequences of getting it wrong. We talk about AI like it's magic, like it's solving everything faster, smarter, cheaper. From healthcare to criminal justice to hiring decisions, we're watching machines make calls we used to reserve for people. And at scale, it works. Most of the time. But nobody wants to talk about the other times. The gray space, the misfire, the margin, the part where the algorithm gets it wrong, and there's no one left in the room to feel bad about it. No pause, no gut check, just math. It's that silence that should worry us, not the hype or the sci-fi nightmares, the silence. Because in that silence, someone always gets left behind. And when there's no one accountable, no one emotionally tethered to the outcome, those people become acceptable losses. That's the paradox. When you build a system for perfect efficiency, you make failure part of the design. You make harm predictable, and you accept it in exchange for speed. We're watching that logic creep into every system that was once grounded in human judgment. Medical diagnostics now rely on predictive models trained on incomplete data. Hiring software filters out undesirable applicants based on who succeeded in the past, which often means it filters out anyone who doesn't look like the status quo. Social services are being guided by risk scores, not conversations. And bail decisions, parole outcomes, and even sentencing recommendations are being shaped by machine learning tools that weigh risk without context. If someone gets flagged incorrectly, the system doesn't feel guilt. It doesn't pause. It moves on. The result is a kind of moral detachment dressed up in efficiency. And the people most likely to be hurt by it? They live in the margins. They're the edge cases. The ones whose stories don't fit cleanly into the data because their lives never followed the same paths. Immigrants, disabled workers, formerly incarcerated people, low-income families, single parents, people who move too often to show up clean on a credit check. The system doesn't see them. Or worse, it sees them as risk. This isn't about fear of robots. It's about what happens when systems that lack moral reasoning are handed moral responsibility. It's about what happens when machines decide who gets approved for a transplant, who qualifies for housing, who's likely to reoffend, who gets flagged for fraud, who gets an interview. These aren't neutral decisions. They carry the weight of life and death, of access and denial, of survival and collapse. And we're letting code make those calls without asking the question that matters most. What if it's wrong? Because it will be wrong, not always, but enough. Enough that the same communities who've already carried the brunt of system failures, underfunded schools, underinsured neighborhoods, over-policed blocks, will now face the same pattern in the next generation of tools. And this time, it'll be harder to argue against, because it'll be dressed in numbers. People won't be able to point to a biased judge or a racist policy. They'll be pointing to a system that just followed the data. And if the data was biased, the harm gets automated. That's where the danger really is, not in some future dystopia, but in the quiet rollout of systems that feel neutral because they don't yell, because they don't tweet slurs or pass bills with inflammatory language. But underneath, they're still carrying forward the same hierarchies, the same assumptions, the same exclusions, just cleaner, faster, and harder to fight. The more we lean on AI to make decisions we used to call ethical or moral, the more we outsource responsibility. And the more we do that, the easier it becomes to look away when things go wrong. Not because we don't care, but because the system never cared to begin with. And that detachment becomes contagious. That's why the Thanos metaphor fits, because the logic sounds reasonable on its face. If a system works 95% of the time, that's good, right? That's efficient. But what if you're in the 5%? What if your child's surgery gets denied because an algorithm flagged it as too risky based on old data? What if you lose your job because the HR filter decided your resume doesn't match the last 10 successful hires? What if the fraud detection software locks you out of your benefits during the holidays? What happens when you're the margin, the glitch, the sacrifice made for scale? These are the kinds of questions we're not building into the system because they slow things down. They require conversation, empathy, judgment, things that can't be cleanly coded. And so, instead of designing systems that leave room for those questions, we just don't ask them. We let the machine decide, and we keep moving. This isn't an argument against AI. This is a demand for accountability, for systems that include a human backstop, a pause, a hand on the lever that's connected to more than data. Because without it, we're not building better systems. We're just building colder ones. Systems that are precise, but not fair. Consistent, but not just. And once that framework becomes the norm, it won't just be the margins that suffer. It'll be everyone who finds themselves on the wrong side of the line. It starts small. An insurance claim gets denied. A resume never reaches a human. A student loan application disappears in a digital filter. At first, it looks like system error, an accident, a blip. But across industries, across states, across lives, the pattern repeats. The machine makes a call, and no one questions it, because questioning the system would slow it down. And slowing it down means being less competitive, less profitable, less innovative. In healthcare, hospitals have begun using predictive algorithms to flag patients who are unlikely to benefit from certain treatments. On paper, it sounds smart. Use data to prioritize limited resources. But in real time, it means people are being denied care not because of their condition, but because the model thinks their outcome won't justify the cost. In some hospitals, software guides whether someone even gets seen by a doctor. The model sorts patients by likelihood of benefit, but the model doesn't know that someone couldn't get their meds because the local pharmacy was closed. It doesn't know they don't own a car. It just knows their survival odds are lower, so they get pushed to the bottom of the list. In hiring, the bias is built in. Many corporations use AI resume filters trained on the resumes of past successful employees. So if the last 10 top performers were Ivy League white men from the same 3 zip codes, guess who the system favors? Not because it was told to be racist or sexist, but because it was told to look for patterns, and it learned the wrong ones. It becomes a self-reinforcing loop. The system favors what it's already seen win, which means anyone who doesn't look like that pattern is automatically filtered out before they ever get a shot. Justice systems have quietly integrated AI tools to predict criminal risk, whether someone will reoffend, whether they should get bail, whether their sentence should be longer or shorter. In many jurisdictions, the software isn't even subject to public scrutiny. Defense attorneys can't cross-examine it. Judges often rely on it without understanding how it works. The problem is, those models are trained on historical data, policing patterns, arrest rates, prior records, and historical data is already dirty. Over-policed communities generate more arrests, not necessarily more crime. So the software learns that living in a certain neighborhood makes you high risk, that having a relative with a record makes you a threat, that having missed a prior court date, maybe because you had no transportation, makes you unreliable. The system doesn't know you, it only knows your profile, and it punishes you for it. Public services aren't immune either. In states like Indiana and Arkansas, automated welfare systems have flagged people for fraud or ineligibility based on minor inconsistencies. People have lost access to healthcare, food, or housing support because of a mistyped number, a missed email, a wrong address. One parent in Arkansas had their benefits revoked because the system flagged their file for duplicate residency. Turns out, it confused them with someone who had the same name. No appeal, no call, just silence. And these stories don't make the news. They're not headline worthy because each failure seems small. Each denial looks like a one-off, but behind every one is a real person who got cut out by code. Not because of a law, not because of a judge, but because a machine made a choice. And no one asked if the machine should be making that choice in the first place. The logic behind these systems is always the same. Make it faster, make it scalable, make it lean, and it works. Until it doesn't. Until someone dies because their surgery got delayed. Until a qualified single mother can't get a callback for a job. Until someone's denied parole based on a risk score calculated off the zip code they were born in. Until someone loses everything they needed to survive because the algorithm flagged a false positive. These are the margins, and they're growing. Not because more people are failing, but because more systems are failing them in the same way. Quietly, automatically, without the emotional interruption a human would normally bring. No one pauses and says, "Wait, this doesn't feel right," because there's no one left in the room to feel anything at all. And that's the shift. That's what's creeping in beneath the surface. Not a robot revolution or a dramatic AI takeover. Just a quiet replacement of judgment with logic. And once that logic becomes the standard, once every system is measured by speed, scale, and statistical efficiency, humanity becomes a liability. Feelings become friction. Compassion becomes inefficient. The system isn't biased because someone told it to be. It's biased because no one told it to stop. And that silence, that absence of accountability, is how people disappear inside systems that claim to be fair. They vanish behind numbers, buried in thresholds, flattened into profiles. And once that's normalized, once the machine becomes the final word, it's no longer about whether the algorithm is accurate. It's about whether we're okay living in a world where accuracy matters more than justice. The system works for most people. That's the truth, and that's the trap. When something works 95% of the time, it's easy to call it a success, to ignore the edge cases, to build an entire culture around the idea that the exceptions don't justify a redesign. But inside that leftover 5%, that statistical margin, are real lives. And when those lives go silent, no one notices. Because we've decided efficiency is a good enough trade-off for invisibility. It's always been this way. Privilege floats above the threshold. It doesn't get flagged. It doesn't get scanned. It moves through systems designed with its reality as the default. The AI doesn't question it because it fits the pattern. It clears. Every time. And so the people with the most power rarely even know there's a system under them making those calls. They're not tracked by risk scores. They're not measured against a flawed data set. They're not asked to prove their worth with every application, form, or signature. The system opens for them by default. But if you live in the margins, you learn quickly that being different means being dangerous. Not dangerous in behavior, dangerous to the system's sense of order, because difference isn't easy to classify. It throws off the model. It introduces noise. So the system learns to filter it out, not by accident, by design. You don't have a fixed address? That's a flag. You've moved states 3 times in 4 years? That's a flag. You work 2 part-time jobs with inconsistent hours? That's a flag. You've been arrested but never convicted? Still a flag. Your zip code has a history of crime, poverty, or poor health outcomes. You're a risk, statistically, whether or not it's your story. You become the data point the model doesn't like, and the system doesn't ask why. It just moves on without you. This is the moral vacuum efficiency creates. When the system is optimized to avoid error at scale, the people who exist outside the predictable pattern get sacrificed to maintain the average. And there's no space left to ask whether the pattern was ever fair to begin with. The problem is, most of the people building these systems don't live in that 5%. They don't think like it, they don't come from it, and they don't test for it. So the margins become a kind of blind spot, coded into the architecture, ignored in the outcome. The machine isn't evil, it's just indifferent. It's trained to ignore anything it can't quickly understand. And that includes you if your life doesn't match the model. What's worse is how easily that indifference spreads, because when the machine makes the call, people start believing it's objective, that it must be right because it's not human. They start trusting the system more than their own eyes, more than their own gut. The algorithm said no becomes the new version of that's just policy. And just like that, accountability dies. The decision gets divorced from intention. No one did anything wrong, but someone still pays the price. And that price isn't theoretical. It's eviction notices, denied claims, missed surgeries, job rejections with no explanation, public benefits frozen without a phone call, legal outcomes that hinge on a risk score instead of a defense. These aren't isolated glitches. They're structural results. And when you zoom out far enough, they stop looking like edge cases and start looking like a pattern of abandonment. What makes it worse is that the people in the margins are often the least equipped to fight back. They don't have legal teams. They don't have media contacts. They don't get the benefit of the doubt. They get silence, or worse, justification. They get told the system was just doing its job, that it wasn't personal, that maybe they should have filled something out differently, or tried again, or waited longer, or appealed through the right portal. The blame shifts, the burden stacks, the cycle repeats. Meanwhile, the people who benefit from the system's speed, scale, and ease never feel the fracture. They only see the upside, the quicker claim, the faster loan, the job screening that keeps their inbox clean. They don't see the cost because they're not the ones paying it. That's why this can't be a conversation about convenience. It has to be about ethics, about structure, about who's building the future, and who's being pushed out of it by automation dressed up as progress. Because if you don't ask who the system sees and who it doesn't, then you don't really understand how power moves. There's a quiet comfort to pretending this is just a tech problem, like it can be solved with better code, cleaner data sets, more inclusive training models. And sure, all of that matters, but it misses the real point. This isn't just about flawed inputs or biased outputs. This is about what kind of world we're willing to build and who we're willing to lose in the name of building it faster. Because the harm we're talking about isn't accidental, it's accepted. We've normalized the idea that some people will fall through the cracks, as long as the system works for most. We've decided that the cost of innovation is someone else's future. And as long as that someone else lives in the margins, the loss doesn't make noise. That's the danger. Not that machines are learning too much, but that we've stopped questioning what we're teaching them. We've outsourced judgment without asking whether we're still willing to feel the weight of being wrong. Because once no one is held accountable, no one is responsible. And when no one is responsible, anything can be justified. We're not just building tools, we're building frameworks that decide who gets to access the world and who gets filtered out of it. That's not automation. That's architecture. That's design. And if the people building those systems don't see you, don't account for you, then the system will erase you before you even show up. The Thanos paradox isn't a story about extinction. It's a story about indifference, a worldview that sees imbalance and responds with deletion, that confuses fairness with silence, that rewards systems for optimizing outcomes without questioning what happens to the people left outside the result. But this can't end with a warning. It has to end with a call, not to dismantle AI, but to slow down long enough to ask better questions, to demand human checks, to require emotional presence in systems that would rather move without feeling, to make room, not just for the average outcome, but for the unpredictable, for the complex, for the person who isn't just a data point, but a full life. We need laws that treat algorithmic harm like real harm, policies that require transparency, audits that include the people most affected, not just those most credentialed. And we need to stop using the language of inevitability, because nothing about this is fixed. It's still being built, which means it can still be shaped. And that shaping has to include the margin, not as a statistical exception, but as a human imperative. Because the truth is, once you design a system to sacrifice a certain kind of person, you're not protecting the whole. You're preserving the hierarchy. Thanos believed balance required loss. That fairness meant cutting half so the other half could thrive. AI is moving in that same silence. No hate, just calculation. But if we don't intervene, if we don't interrupt the logic, we'll wake up one day in a world that works perfectly, except for the people it was never designed to work for. One story, one truth, one ripple at a time. This is the Ripple Effect, powered by the Truth Project.